You are listening to In Response, a legacy podcast. A show where three handsome guys talk about their favorite Magic the Gathering format, legacy.
I'm Peter Plank, the artificer. I've got everything at hand in my Goblin Welder's toolbox.
I'm Daniel, the scientist. I ponder precisely about the next move that decides the fate of my opponents.
I'm Philip Klein, the rogue. I use the graveyard to fuel opponents with agony.
And now, lean back and enjoy.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 72, the return of the Knot of
In Response,
a legacy podcast.
I'm Philip Klein.
I am Daniel.
And I'm Peter Plank.
And we're talking about legacy.
Most of the time.
So at first, we have to make a little bit of an advertisement here because we are hosting the next Austrian Legacy Masters and we have prepared some really, really nice poster here. It's the Austrian Legacy Masters. It takes place at the 19th of July to the 21st of July and it's 3 days. I can give you this.
Of course, yeah.
And it's 3 days of Magic. We start with Friday Night Magic on Friday. Then we have the Austrian Legacy Masters on Saturday. And where we have an European Legacy Masters slot as a prize support. And also on Sunday, we play out the next European Legacy Masters slot at the Austrian Legacy League Season's End Tournament. So join us. Put the link in the show notes for registration. Mm-hmm. And for every information.
We also have, of course, a Facebook page where you can all the information on the event. And you can also, of course, see us live as we will be live streaming the whole weekend. Full Magic, full Legacy, three events, just like last year.
3 days live stream. Oh my God, that's insane.
And we hope that many, many people of Europe will be traveling to us to gather those nice slots for the EL. So, yes.
Thank you very much. So, and next we have to thank also our patrons, Matt Duncan, Christian Neutz, and Moritz Eichmeier. Thank you very much for your support. If you want to join this elite ranks of supporters, go to patreon.com/response_legacy. And now we hop into the real talk of our episode, and that's basically Meta Talk.
And by the way, Meta Talk, do you know my favorite stat?
Tell me.
It's the force count. We are at 58%.
58% force of will?
Yeah.
Oh, that's insane. When was it that high the last time? I think it was Ragavan time?
Maybe Ragavan time. Maybe Death
Rage. Or Dreaded Arcanist.
I would guess Miracles time.
Okay. That's really, really long ago.
Yes.
But it was by far one of my most favorite metas.
I think this is perfectly showing that Legacy has some cards that are just sacred because the community would just go mad immediately if Wizards would ban anything that is, well, as much played as, for example, this Force of Will card.
The pillars of the format.
Yes.
But I think Force of Will is the glue that holds the format together.
Yeah, this is an argument of a lot of people, but I guess if it comes down to Wizard, if it was a new format introduced now, the card would be banned.
The card would probably be banned, and also the meta would be insane. It would be just combo after combo after combo, and just so extremely busted shit that just keeps kept in check by Force of Will.
Mm-hmm.
I think you couldn't play anything that is assembles basically any form of a mid-range plan.
No, nothing is sacred anymore. Just turn one kills all the time.
But I think when having this in mind, we know that Scaminator is one of those decks that are played quite heavily in the Legacy metagame at the moment. But it seems that the Legacy metagame is shifting. It turns its wheels.
As always.
Exactly. And a new version that is an old strategy in a new kind of shell has been having a resurgence, actually. And it's, as the title of the episode suggests, it's Stifle Knot.
Yeah. That's basically a tempo deck where you play a Phyrexian Dreadnought. It's a 12-12 for one mana. It's an artifact creature. It has trample, and when it comes into play, it's a it has a triggered ability where you have to sacrifice creatures with
total combined power
of 12 or more, or you have to sacrifice the Phyrexian Dreadnought.
Exactly.
And with this, you can simply play Stifle. That's why it's called Stifle Knot. You can stifle the trigger, and you keep your 12-12 indefinitely. Or you can dress down beforehand, so the 12-12 loses all its
abilities
and also loses its trigger and stays on the battlefield indefinitely. Mm-hmm. There are some kinds you can phase it out. Mm-hmm. Also, then it also stays.
Vision Charm basically was the thing back in the days. Mm-hmm. You also had like Trick Bind as another way. It's nowadays it's, I think, Slip It Out the Back, which phases it out and gives it a +1/+1 counter. But one of the cool things with the new list is Ethral.
Exactly. This is the kind of new addition that makes this deck work, kind of. I think if it wasn't because of Thrall, it would be very, less powerful, I would say.
Definitely. The Thrall is for one and a white. That's a 1/2 with flash, flying, artifacts and creatures entering the battlefield don't cause ability to trigger. So, I mean, these are pretty, pretty pumped stats, actually.
Top orb on a stick.
Oh, insane,
And with flash, I think this is quite important because previously there has been this 2-mana creature that has the same ability.
Hushbringer,
exactly. But it doesn't have flash.
It's just flying and lifelink. Just flying and lifelink.
Yeah. But exchange lifelink with flash and it's much better.
It's good. You can play turn 2, end of turn, your doorkeeper file, and next turn play 2 Dreadnoughts.
exactly. It feels like twin, like, right? End of turn, Deceiver Exarch, and then...
Oh, yeah, it certainly feels like...
This is like a twin situation that we have here.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and also Thrall is... these decks are mostly played in kind of a bunch shell. So they played with green. And also at turn 3 Uro that stays on the battlefield. It's really nothing to scoff at. 6/6 that gains you life whenever you attack and draws your card and lets you play put the land on the battlefield. It's really good against Espers, against blue-black scam. They simply aren't really able to raise either of them, either the Phyrexian Dreadnought or a fast Uro.
Yeah, it's a really, really strong version of the deck. Mm. We had like the Dreadnought decks coming up from time to time again because it's like an old fan favorite. But this specific deck with such a strong hate piece as a main core engine is like really, really strong. It's basically if your opponent wants to grief you, I mean, he can still evoke the grief and he has now 3/2 for... like no mana, but he did not get to discard a card. If they reanimate like an Atraxa and stuff like that, it doesn't trigger. If they reanimate an Archon, you still have time to deploy your remove spell because the trigger doesn't go onto the stack.
Yeah.
So it's like, a really, really strong.
It is also individually not in the Stifle Knot list, particularly a quite strong card that sees now plays in control decks in the sideboard, for example. Because it's very impacting the format. There's a lot of ETB triggers can get prevented with this card. And
also it's pretty great against Muxus. Goblins is also a deck that runs a Rampart, especially on Modo. And the Goblins relies almost exclusively on his entering the battlefield triggers. And this card single-handedly crushes the deck.
Yeah, exactly. This is, I think, one of the many reasons why this strategy at the moment is quite strong, combined with the fact that Swords to Plowshares is quite on the low end side of in numbers at the moment. But because of Stifle Knot, I would say we feel that the Legacy Magic game definitely shifts into more Swords in the future. We kind of see the signs at the moment, because Stifle Knot itself at least plays Swords to Plowshares as well. So it's a good against the normal version of Scam. But this will definitely spark an answer for all the other decks.
Oh, for sure. I mean, the question arises here. How will Stifleknot lists adapt to these kind of changes in the meta, to playing to the meta being more white, playing more swords? How can Stifleknot adapt? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of need the protection cards for it. I mean, it's of course like Daze and Fossifil, but the one key thing with Stifleknot back in the day was like Vision Charm is a protection spell. Because yeah, it basically
when you phase out the creature,
it out in response to the removal spell and everything was safe again. It's a gameplay pattern that we see in pre-modern a lot, and but they don't really think that this is kind of the thing to do. The cool thing is, on the other hand, the late game engine that Uru can provide.
Yeah, especially for the green version. I mean, I brainstormed a little bit, and maybe the key here is playing a two of Legolas Quick Reflexes.
Mm-hmm.
Giving your first and Dreadnought hexproof.
It could be the way to second. Go when the meta is more interactive.
Yeah.
And you are turning then less into a value engine, a synergistic value, but more into 1-2 punch kind of
more
deck.
More into 1-2 punch.
Yeah.
And also, I'm thinking maybe if that situation arises, maybe it's time then to stop playing green, going even a bit more tempo-y and splashing red.
And for what?
Fling. Fling.
I mean,
do you want to talk about my past here? No, I mean, I don't really think Fling is currently a thing that can evolve into. Hydro Blast and Blue Elemental Blast is on a really, really high side currently.
Hydro Blast is...
If you're playing like a Jeskai kind of word, Jeskai version of the deck, you have like boats in here to finish their opponents off, because like two boats to the face together with a Dreadnought attack is usually enough. So I don't really think that moving to red is like a huge thing currently.
For sure, but you also could play for Fierlingus.
Yeah. I mean, right now, of course, we don't know, because at the moment we are not yet in this state.
It's just,
of course, theory talk. Stifleknot is banned at the moment, the most successful version. What I think will be interesting is now, as we've seen the meta game shifts, because blue-black Scam is targeted quite a bit with this deck, they also adapt now white in their deck and turn into an Esper Scam kind of deck at the moment. Mm-hmm. And this is, of course, the counter to that, also to the mirror, because you now have your own source of Plowshares that deal with any threats. And I think this is then the question, how strong is the banned Stifleknot in general in the Legacy meta game when this happens? Oh.
Yeah, with Esper Scam, we have like a lot of key cards now coming in for the deck. We have the four sorts of Plowshares most of the time in the sideboard, or even to some extent in the main deck. You have Serenities, but one huge thing that... it's really good against one-drops, actually. It's like pest control.
Could be we talked about this in the last episode, about pest control.
Yep.
And it clears like your Dreadnoughts off. I mean, you don't really have like the care to taking it care of, like the Thrall and the Uro, but still you can cycle it. It's just a good card.
Without the Dreadnoughts, game is fine, to be honest. It's... you can handle an Uru. You can just outclass it with your bigger threats, and eventually Uru is just too slow. But a big Dreadnought, when we also have to face the Stifles, the Dazes, the Wastelands, and the Forces, you have a problem, because Scam doesn't play removal or good removal usually. And with white being in the mix, it's now a different story.
Mm. Well, for sure, but it's just in the sideboard, am I right?
Yes, at the moment, yes. Pest control is something that is thought of. They could be in the main deck, which is a problem probably for Stifleknot.
For sure, yeah.
If it ends up in the main deck. But right now, the versions that we see is Swords and Serenity is in the sideboard. Yeah.
Speaking of scam, what I... Because, as you know, I'm the rogue and I'm always thinking about different ideas and, yeah, different cards to put in into a deck. Mm-hmm. Scam is already playing 4 Enemy Dead and 4 Entomb.
Yes.
Alongside 4 Orcish Bowmasters, or 3 to 4 Orcish Bowmasters.
Yes.
Why doesn't this deck simply adopt the one-off World Gorger Dragon?
World Gorger Dragon, just for the combo itself.
It just, if you have an Orcish Bowmaster and you reanimate a World Gorger Dragon, it's game over for your opponent.
Because
it's just
being animated. Dead. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if you don't have a Bowmaster,
you can...
You can simply reanimate an Atraxa or a Sauron or whatever. Yeah, you don't have to. It's just the one off that instantly wins you the game.
Yes. When talking about this kind of combos, I have an opinion on that.
Yeah, tell me.
So you mean you're looking for an opportunity when you have a Bowmasters on the battlefield and you get to pull off the Entomb plus Reanimate combo an additional time, which is in this case the Gold Gorger
Top. Animate that.
Why an additional time?
Yeah, in addition to the already existing Bowmaster as a threat being on the battlefield.
Probably.
So you are already ahead, you have a Bowmasters and your Entomb plus Animate Dead resolves. So if I get an Atraxa and draw 4 more cards, for me, this is already game over. This is also you're dead kind of thing. So it's not played out yet. You know what I mean?
But
this is like a dead situation where you're overwhelming your opponent so hard that they can, in the most cases, just scoop.
In the most cases, that's a thing.
I mean, there's of course, it's not 100%. It's I know what you mean. It's like you kill it. But I feel this is like a win more kind of situation. This is what I wanted to say.
If they have a removal spell, you are most likely better off like getting the Archon, the Atraxa, the Sauron. In some niche cases, it could be the sweet or even cool thing to do.
It's certainly the coolest thing that you can do, actually. Yeah. I mean,
but that does it do something when you don't have the Bowmasters? Yeah,
because if you are losing, you can animate that the World Gorger Dragon, and force a draw and start a new game.
Only if you have not a single other target in your graveyard.
Then yeah, against Leyline or something like that,
Or is it not?
Against Leyline, it doesn't. Because if you are able to
prevent
a loop from continuing, you have to prevent it.
Okay.
Okay, so is it like after certain times of iterations, you have to stop?
To some extent. You can't say, now it's a draw because I can't do anything, you can't do something else.
You could do something else, okay, yeah.
But if they basically nuked your graveyard with an Isle Spellbomb, they have 7 artifact tokens out there, running Rampage, then the draw can be good.
But you could also argue that you can just Entomb for the World Gorger Dragon, animate that, make the loop, make infinite mana, then reanimate something else, a troll or something, and cast your whole hand. Isn't that good, actually?
You have only if you have a full hand. Then if you don't have it, you of course cannot use the mana in that sense.
I think it's at least something to think of.
You could do that. I mean, I personally think it's like, it feels like win more, but of course it feels awesome when you pull it off.
It's just awesome.
Yeah, of course, just for the style, it's for sure a winner there, absolutely.
And it's really good if you have your Archon out, because then you win the game too.
But then it's even more win more than with Orcish Bowmasters.
That is true.
But yeah, I mean, it seems something that you can try. But usually, I think you want to tomb. Something like an Echo of Eons.
For sure. It's just that that's the probably the best World Gorger Dragon deck that could ever exist. It doesn't play World Gorger Dragon.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
No, like you said, I think with Entomb you can actually pair a better card at the moment. Besides Scam, and this is of course Echo of Eons. Why?
I mean, it's basically like a time twister.
Yeah.
And it's graveyard hate all in one.
Exactly. There's this storm version that is some kind of an echo storm, or it's a saga storm kind of version that plays normal besiege, the mirror, Ursa saga, dark rituals, all the mana rocks and rituals, and then it has Entomb plus Echo of Aeons also in the deck, both a 4/4.
And I don't know if you have said it, Bowmasters.
And it has Bowmasters.
And it has Bowmasters.
Yes, yes.
So you can pull the next insane combo. Yes. You can Entomb the
Volgotcha Drake.
The Volgotcha Drake, yeah, for sure. No. You can Entomb the Echo of Aeons, yeah. Flash in Bowmaster, and next time flashback, have a huge
trigger.
Orgami token, ping your opponent to death. Sounds great.
It's actually pretty good because you get to deal a couple of damage, even if you get to pull it off, it's 7 damage that you deal to your opponent, or 8 with the normal trigger of Bowmasters as well. And then the normal way of this deck is to win with tendrils. You don't have to storm that high anymore. You can just do this once and then finish it off.
Or maybe with your full set of cards in hand, maybe do it twice.
Or do it twice, yeah. I can never be there. Or do it with 2 Bowmasters.
or 2 Bowmasters. Yeah.
40 damage, come on.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a few versions already. Some, I think it was Killer Bee. He played it with Leyline of Anticipation. So you basically could stack your Echo of Aeons from the graveyard on top of each other if you have like multiple of those in a graveyard, so that you can play in your opponent's turn and
okay, this is
everything has flash. That's Leyline of Anticipation,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. So
basically, then you flash in your Bowmaster.
Yeah, with your Bowmaster, and then flash. You like let resolve like your 4 Echo of Aeons.
It feels like a nice deck, to be honest. Ursa Saga, you have another plan B.
Yeah.
Bowmaster is very strong against control decks. Mm-hmm. You have also removal. Like, if you play against Falia.
Yeah.
It's huge, actually.
Against Bowmaster.
Your Storm deck actually has a nice way to answer this kind of permanence in game one.
Yeah.
So, I think it's a strong deck, actually. Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're not playing TS, that's probably the best, the next best Storm deck that you could play.
Mm. At the moment, it's quite strong. Especially tied to the fact that Echo acts as a Gravitate also. You can just remove any troll that has been cycled and is waiting to be reanimated, but...
Yeah,
it's Atraxa.
Atraxa, whatever.
It's also pretty much discard proof because they don't want to take your key engine. Yep. To the graveyard because it's done better. So it's a really interesting deck. And one thing that we kind of have to mention here with Besiege the Mirror, it's like you can sacrifice enchantments, which is like a key point why it's so good with Saga. On the other hand, as I previously wanted to shit talk, is ley lines. Because like even if you have like a ley line that you can use, like the Leyline of Anticipation, or better off in the current metagame, Leyline of the Void, you can sacrifice this ley lines to get the Stormbolt rolling.
Yep.
It's really good. And on the other hand, with before mentioned Leyline of the Void, like a one-off Helm of Obedience can also be kind of good.
This Leyline plus Helm is in the sideboard of these decks usually. So after when you expect lots of Gravitate, and if you're playing against decks that use the graveyard, you could just divert into this kind of plan and go for the Leyline Helm combo.
Yeah, Mono Black has gotten so many incredible tools in the last, I think, year or so. It's just, Mono Black is a great mid-range deck. It's a great Storm deck. It's basically the only thing that we still need would be a great control deck in Mono Black.
And Mono Black, you mean? Okay,
We have that in Modern.
Really?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I don't follow Modern meta, so I don't know.
You have like the Mono Black Cover Coffer stack.
Ah, okay.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if this is a control deck. Yeah.
I mean,
it's like Shield Red, it's a control deck.
It's control.
Yeah.
It goes late.
What I like is, when I saw this, Echo Storm, is I think one big problem that the deck has is answering Chalice of the Void. because black doesn't have artifact removal, actually. Well, not really good ones. And aside, but you only have access to Feed the Swarm, which kills creatures and enchantments. Mm.
You need something like Geth's
Throne. Yeah, there's actually one. It's the one that you actually can tutor with Saga. It's Search Node.
A Search Node. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's their answer. But I feel it's still quite challenging when you, for example, play against Mono Red Stompy.
Mm-hmm.
You also face Blood Moons, and then your Saga cannot get your Chalice answer. Mm. So I think this could be challenging, this matchup. For this matchup, I guess you have to just go all in, of course.
Or you just hope to dodge it.
Or hope to dodge it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, also with the Saga resolving up to the third chapter, it's like you need a lot of time
you
for
need
that.
Time, yeah.
And Stompy decks are, on the one hand, like the thing that deploys like a controlling piece on the first turn or a hate piece, but on the other side, usually
Rebel
they
Master,
have
Rebel
some
Master,
threats.
Rebel Master.
Or Bombardiers.
Bombardiers, broadside
Bombardiers.
Oh my god, this card is also so great.
Throwing chalices into faces.
Throwing furies into faces after combat.
The evoked ones.
Yeah, the evoked ones. Cha! That's basically over.
Yeah.
I think these are the three decks that we really wanted to highlight this time. Mm. We actually don't know what Mono Rises 3 will bring.
Yeah,
because this will probably the meta shake up of not even of the year but of the cycle of the Modern Horizons cycle basically.
I mean, for Modern Horizons 3, we kinda want to see the new Planeswalkers.
The one mana Planeswalker.
The Flipwalkers.
Grist is kind of one mana Planeswalkers. And also, Ayani is a Planeswalker, am I right?
I haven't seen the white one, the Ayani one yet, but we have Sorin and I think it's Valzarek.
Mm-hmm.
The red one, I will buy four of those, but but it's only for modern Giftstorm. It's basically a new Electromancer that can semi-reliable flip and be really strong.
Mm-hmm.
But The one thing that stands out for Legacy currently is Tamiyo, because like one brainstorm, it flips for free, no mana to be paid. And can't wait for
Mono Rises 3.
No, for the next episode of us.
Save your money, stay tuned, and buy your cards from Modern Horizons.
Basically buy packs from Modern Horizons, unfortunately. Save all your money, don't buy any duels.
Buy singles, don't buy packs.
This set will be
crazy
expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we can wrap this episode up here. It was great to have you here. If you like what we are doing, consider following us on social media. It's @response_legacy. Basically everywhere. You can find me on Twitter. It's @finnickmtg. PHINNICKMTG. Daniel, where can we find you on social media?
You can find me also on X. It is @FlyingDelver. And Peter, where we can find you?
You can find me on the platform previously known as Twitter. It's @UnicornLord, but the O in this Lord is a zero.
I will forever say Twitter for that.
In response, yeah.
This was In Response, a Legacy podcast. If you enjoyed the ride, feel free to support the show by following, leaving a review, or subscribe on patreon.com/response_legacy.